AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Here's your Slippers Dad.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
College football, full circle.
He's going to waddle over to the left. Fakes that he's going to take a handoff. The throw is to wide open Billingsley. If he got the pylon, he got the touchdown, and he did. They bring a late fourth man on the rush. Jones is in trouble. Dancing around, and down he goes, and that is ball game. And I think I said this in Atlanta in December. Alabama survives the Gators.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 204, another big weekend of college football. You're to break it all down, start getting ready for next week. Joined, as always, the encyclopedia of college football. That is Go for the Two, Joe Lisi. Joe, how are you, my man?
Oh, doing well. What games this past Saturday? Unbelievable. Kept me up till about 3:30 in the morning with that late
night
thrill.
You stayed up for the bailout blowout with Hawaii and San Jose State, which was
up
not actually a blowout.
Two quarters got me in. Two quarters. I watched that game in Provo. Credit to Kalani Sitake. I'll give him credit. The Cougars are 3-0. I tweeted out they're going to the college football playoff. So we'll see how that works.
So now you're trying to do the reverse. You're trying to do the reverse jinx on Kalani Sitake.
No,
so
I'm not.
You couldn't
no,
get
I'm
him in the front end. So now you're going to try to get him saying that he's going to the college football playoff. That's
there
the way
go,
you're going to do it
great.
Now, huh, Joe?
Jaren Hall, they're fat. This team, all they do is win, baby.
But really,
what a weekend, though. What a weekend.
A tremendous weekend. And you had a great weekend, Joe. A ton of your picks came out on top. But we have to start, of course, with Florida and Alabama. Because I said it. I'll throw them all the bouquets if they deserve them. And Florida deserves them after the way they played. Yes, they lost 30-29. Awful call on the 2-point conversion that they had to maybe tie that football game up. But they ran all over Alabama, and they did a tremendous job on Saturday.
5.7 yards per carry, 257 yards on the ground. And think about the resolve of this team. They could have folded. They were down 21-3, right? I mean, unbelievable. And we talked about the road environment for Bryce Young. He looked like a deer in the headlights at some point. I have to admit it. He didn't look like this world beater, mat or die. Oh, just hand him the Heisman. He struggled in critical situations. Underthrew some balls, threw some balls into coverage that were tipped and could have been picked. So, you know, there are some concerns for Alabama moving forward. They need to fix the defensive side of the ball. I still don't know what the offensive identity is of this team with Bill O'Brien calling the plays. So they have a tough ball game coming up in the middle of October with Ole Miss and Matt Corral. They face Texas A&M. They face LSU. They face Auburn. I'm not so sure Alabama gets through the season unscathed.
Yeah, there's definitely cause for concern, Joe, because honestly, there was two things that happened to Alabama in that game that we have not seen over the past few years. You know, they run out to a 21-3 lead in the first quarter, and you figure, here we go again, and they only score 10 more points the rest of the way. So for me, Joe, that's flag number one, because normally in those spots, they continue to put the foot down, and they continue to score tons of points, and they were not able to do that. on Saturday. So give Florida's D some credit, and you have to wonder a little bit about maybe some offensive play calling with Bill O'Brien and things that they have going. The other thing, Joe, number two, is the Bama rush defense, and that could not have made Nick Saban happy looking over that tape yesterday afternoon, watching his team get absolutely destroyed on the ground the entire second half. Long drives for Florida, which is part of the reason that kept Alabama off the field. That was not pretty. We have not seen that from an Alabama rush defense in a while.
No, not at all. And even though they've defeated Florida in eight straight games, this is, if they play again in the SEC championship game, you sort of feel that Alabama's starting to, you know, creep in a little doubt maybe into their defense. Can we hold them? Are we as good as we thought we were? You know, we've always talked about this in terms of teams believing that they can knock off Alabama, right? You have to believe it first, and then you can go out and do it. Half these teams in the SEC, the Vanderbilts, the Tennessees, Kentuckys, they go out there and they're defeated before the game is even kicked off. Well, teams like Florida, Georgia, and I'll throw in LSU for that matter, they believe that they can go toe-to-toe with them, and that's why we've seen those games go down to the wire over the past few years and seen Alabama lose to those type of teams. So we'll see. We got a long way in terms of the 2021 season. We got a lot of football ahead of us, but it's good to see a chink in the armor for the Alabama Crimson Tide. It makes it special.
Yeah, it actually does help us a little bit because, once again, coming into this game, we thought, well, season over, here we go. Alabama again, nobody's on their level. Hey, at least Florida gave us a little hope. Maybe somebody can get onto their level at some point, whether it's in the SEC this year, Joe, or even in the college football playoff. Maybe somebody can look at that game plan that Florida used on Saturday and say, all right, let's get ourselves, you know, a big-time running attack. We know where we got to go after this Alabama team, and we can find a way to beat them. All right, college football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, we're just getting going right here. Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll come back. More games to dive into through the weekend. What a weekend for Joe Lisi. We keep rolling on Sports Grid Radio right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. All right, Joe, so we give the credit to Florida, but Alabama does get the win. They, of course, stay at the top of all the polls this week after their performance in the Swamp. You're right. They're going to have some tough matchups down the road, but good for them to get this one out of the way. All right, Joe, how about the whiteout on Saturday night, which wasn't actually a whiteout because they were wearing blue?
Love it. I love our fans, Carver. Put on a Notre Dame game. Settle it in. Let's just calm and just serenity now, right now. That's it.
Joe, here's the deal, man. On this game on Saturday night, tremendous performance, I thought, once again, by Penn State. They were able to take care of business. Auburn, 28-20 win for the Nittany Lions. And I thought the refs were really screwing. Why was an SEC crew, Joe, doing that game?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, in terms of that SEC environment with the refs, I mean, there were some calls that went Penn State's way. There were some calls that went Auburn's way. At the end of the day, Carver, it was a horribly officiated game. And it wasn't just that game that we saw in Beaver Stadium. It's been across the board from the start of the season until week number three, what we've seen this past Saturday. I mean, look at that matchup in Memphis, right, where the kid downs the football for the punt and Memphis picks it up and goes 94 yards for a touchdown, that allowed Mississippi State to lose that ball game. So there have been questionable calls each and every week from the start of the year until now. And it's really affected the outcome. The officiating crews, not just in the SEC, but across the board, have been inconsistent, have been terrible, and it needs to change because it will affect more games. It will affect the gambling aspect, especially from an in-game perspective, and it could potentially affect a national championship race, and it's unfortunate. But at the end of the day, Carver, Penn State made enough plays on the defensive side of the ball. This is a battle-tested unit now in victories over Wisconsin and now a gutty Auburn team. They're actually peaking at just the right time for that October matchup in Iowa City against fifth-ranked Iowa and Kirk Ferentz.
I cannot wait, Joe, because right now, number five against number six, that would be if that matchup happened this week between Iowa and Penn State. I thought the Penn State D played outstanding. They took care of business against Bo Nix. They held Bigsby down as much as they could. Tank did have that one touchdown. He did get in. I thought that Clifford played well as well, Joe. I thought in big spots, he really showed something to me. I've never been a huge believer in him. But the way that he drove a couple of those drives down the field to get Penn State in the end zone, tremendous job by Sean Clifford on Saturday.
Yeah, and credit Yurcich, the offensive coordinator. They're starting to utilize their playmakers more. They're not so much a ground-and-pound type of team that wants to run the football. They can exploit you over the top. And to your point about Sean Clifford now, the extra year I think has helped him mature. He's a better pocket passer. He doesn't force balls into coverage as much. He became a better film room guy, and I think you're starting to see that. 28 to 32, 281 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. The big play to the tight end, right, that gets them inside the red zone to find that look under pressure. That was, I mean, the guy was wide open, but still, you know, earlier Sean Clifford might have missed that throw. He made a lot of key throws Saturday night, and when you have one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten that I'm shocked is not getting any Heisman love in Jahan Dotson, it makes it a lot easier.
He was outstanding, Joe. He was out. He made a couple of great catches in that game. Really helped Clifford out a lot. You're right. Maybe he should be getting a little bit more juice.
He's not even
when
on
it
the
comes
board.
To the, he's not he's even not on even the on, board. Jeez.
No. Keep an eye out. You know why? I'm sorry, Carver. You know what's in interesting is that, okay, he's not on the board now, but he still plays fifth-ranked Iowa. Right, he's going to have to go to the Horseshoe and play Ohio State, and then he's going to have to play Michigan. Those are three key games where he steps up and he goes all out. And let's say
then we get him on the board,
right? Well, as soon as he's on the board, maybe you take him. I would take a shot on Clifford here as a 50-1 shot. But if Dotson does get on the board on FanDuel or another book, I would definitely jump on him. I'm battling a cold, by the way, so we'll see here.
Listen, you're battling a cold. I'm battling a lot of things as well. We're going to make it through, Joe. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to this Oklahoma game. Here's the interesting thing to me, Joe, and this is almost as like a whole. Oklahoma, and I'm going to get to Clemson as well. You know what? I'll save my big picture thing for after we break all these big teams' games down. Oklahoma struggles. Say what you want. I mean, they were 22.5-point favorite, Joe. They got to win by more than 23-16 right. against Nebraska.
Oh, without a doubt. And that defense can't only hold you in games. I mean, we've saw the offense now with Spencer Rattler looked inconsistent at critical junctures, not just last week, but throughout the season. I mean, you can't play Western Carolina every single week and score 76, right? I think the too much Heisman love for Spencer Rattler and the crew needs to be dialed back a bit right now. They're going to have some key matchups against solid defenses. It starts this week with West Virginia. They're opened up as a 15.5-point favorite. Depending upon the book, it's as high as 16.5. They're going to get challenged from a front seven. That West Virginia front seven recorded six sacks against Braxton Burmeister. And then you look at another potential team that has shown a defensive mindset, Oklahoma State, with that victory over Boise State. So Right now, yes, Oklahoma deserves to be in the conversation, but to me, they're not playing like a top five team, even though they got the victory over Nebraska. Their defense carried them through in specials as well. I need to see more out of Rattler as a leader of that offense.
I'm with you, Joe. And honestly, this is just like you just said about Alabama. I think this team, they're going to get picked off eventually. They're going to lose their Big 12 game, one of them somewhere along the line. This is twice now at home this year against Tulane and against Nebraska, where honestly, Oklahoma, extremely unimpressive and could have lost either game. Like, they won that game Saturday because Nebraska, I mean, they stink. They can't score. That's just the way that it goes. Their offense is horrible. But Oklahoma's going to get picked here sometime in the next couple weeks, Joe. It's coming.
Oh, it could be Iowa State, could be Oklahoma State. I mean, we'll see. I don't know if West Virginia has enough from an offensive perspective to challenge them, especially with Jared Daigie, the turnover machine. I mean, unbelievable. That game was unreal, by the way. I don't know if anybody watched it, but Jared Daigie almost and Neil Brown almost cost themselves the game. But you're absolutely right. I mean, right now, Lincoln Riley does not have that train rolling. It seems like they took an approach at the start of the year that, oh, yeah, we were the best team at the end of the year. You know, we reeled off, what was it, like seven straight wins, eight straight wins after they lost to K-State and Iowa State? Yeah, we're good. We rolled up 400 on Florida in the bowl game, even though Florida was minus 20 players. It's like they think they have the swag and they haven't done anything yet.
They have done absolutely nothing. I'm tired of hearing about Spencer Rattler. It's just not going to happen for me this year, Joe. And then there's Clemson, the other big team, you know, one of those big five teams at the beginning of the year, who had, what happened to the Clemson offense, Joe? You know, a 14-8 win over Georgia Tech, a game that honestly they could have blown. It's like the same situation as Oklahoma. Georgia Tech's got no offense like Nebraska, or else maybe they would have won that game. What has happened to Dabo Swinney and that offense? DJU, I mean, I want to cut the guy a break. He's only been a couple games, but this guy just doesn't seem to be on that same level, and neither does that offensive line. Just nothing looks good for Clemson, Joe.
No, we talked about it in the offseason. The biggest change was the running game, right? They're averaging well less. Last year, they averaged 153. The previous 2 years, they made the college football playoff with Jeff Scott as the offensive coordinator. They were averaging 240. That's it in a nutshell. You can't run. You're in long third downs. You become predictable.
No question about it. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM channel 204. We keep rolling through all the weekend games right after this on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 204. Before I move on, Joe, I was talking about a big picture before, and I'm just going to put it like this. You know, and I'll throw Georgia in here, too, because they did crush South Carolina, but they didn't cover, Joe. I mean, right. It was 30.5, 31.5 against South Carolina. So let's take all these teams. They haven't been covering here in the early season.
No.
Georgia, yes, they beat Clemson. They did not cover last week, just this week. Georgia's actually the best out of all of them. Alabama has now 1-2 in terms of covering. Clemson has not covered games. Oklahoma has not covered games. Ohio right. State has not covered games. All these teams that were the preseason top five have done a bad job in the first 3 weeks, Joe. And some of them squeak some games out, but in terms of covering numbers, they have not been profitable, these preseason top five teams.
No, not at all. And honestly, in terms of just the assessment, Joe Public's probably getting waxed right now, right?
No question. No question.
You know, that's just the way it happens in terms of, that type of breakdown. But, teams have to come into form. And I'm never a big believer in terms of laying big wood, especially when there's parity in terms of college football and how teams don't play defense anymore. That's the biggest thing, is that I rarely lay a big number, because no matter how big of a number you're laying, they're not playing defense. It's always a one-sided affair. So it's rare that you get teams that score and then play the defense to back it up to cover that number, right? So from an offensive standpoint, you get a team like, let's take Clemson. They win six straight heading into that game Saturday. They won those games by an average margin of victory of 30.6 points per game. And they're coming off a domination with Trevor Lawrence of 73-7. So you would have to think that the rematch is on Georgia Tech's mind, in the sense of, okay, we know they're not most likely going to win, even though they almost did. You're going to get their best effort, right? So what does that actually mean? So if you take the raw data of the 30.6, and that number was right there on that number, it was actually 2 points lower, you know, that's a number where you have to scratch your head. Well, if they won by 30.6 points per game, why did the books establish it 2 points lower than the raw value over the last 6 years? And last year's victory was 66 points. That same type of situation happened week one with BYU and Arizona. Arizona gets blown out in their last game by Arizona State, right? Now here comes BYU. That line opened up at 11.5. On a neutral field, they bet it up to 13.5, and Arizona covered that number. So now I think as we inch to October and these teams start to take shape, you're going to start to see shorter numbers. And that's where I'd be more inclined to jump on the better teams. Like, look at Clemson, 12-point favorites or 10.5-point favorites on the road in Raleigh this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, this is the kind of spot where I want to get away from Clemson, Joe, because Clemson, they've looked awful. Offensively, they have looked pathetic. And now I'm going to lay another 10 on the road against NC State, who I think is a decent team. They didn't play well, as we know, that weekend in Starkville, but other than that, they've played okay. Like, and this will be the week, Joe. You know, we're all going to stay away from Clemson this week. This will be the week where they laid a big, heavy lumber, you know, the 65-20 game. You know, this is the week where Clemson's going to do it, because the number's gotten shortened, and guys like me are going to be scared to take them because they've been awful the first 3 weeks.
Yep, and I will say it's a game on my radar. I did look.
It's a game on your radar.
I'll tell you, it is a game on my radar. Now, you know, the thing that does scare me is that if you are going to catch Clemson, you catch them on the road. So I don't really like that they are on the road. Devin Leary and NC State are a legitimate, you know, team. They're physical, and this is going to be their Super Bowl with Clemson coming off a lackluster win. So I haven't broke this game down yet. I'm breaking all the games down after the show today, but you're right, because the public better and the public perception is that, oh, these teams are not as good as they were, when in essence we have parity in college football and we have a lot of moving parts. You know, DJU, new starter. Bryce Young, new starter. So they're laying numbers based off of, you know, senior quarterbacks or a train in motion. You have to take it into account. It's almost like a game. The books establish these lines, and I'll say it again. They come out and they say, we establish lines to get 50-50 action. No way. They establish lines to suck in the public and to make money. And I'm a big believer in that. I don't care. They could have 15,000 sportsbook directors that get up in front of the mic. We do, the consigliere will say this, and he's always on the show saying with this. BS. They establish lines to suck in people to make money. Because otherwise you wouldn't have 70% or 80% of the bets on one side, right? How are the books not getting crushed when 80% of the action is all on one side if they can't lay it off, or they have no intention of laying it off? Then something doesn't smell right. That's so, just keep that into account.
Of course. Look at Joe, feisty here.
No, because they'll come out, we just want 50-50 action. We look to get the VIG. Yeah. Okay.
Joe,
all right.
Look out, baby.
Look out. Listen. No, because that's what happens. That's what they do.
Speaking of getting crushed, Joe, I mean, we'll talk about this next segment and who screwed you the most. Jeez, my picks got crushed on Friday. I look like Joe Lisi week zero.
Yes.
With the picks that I had on Friday.
I got hammered in round one. Jeez. I was Rocky.
Well, you have now rallied to pull ahead of me after a couple weeks into the season. But we'll do that
season.
With a long, very long season. Let's go through a bunch of these games quickly because there were so many games on Saturday, Joe. Let's try to go through. I'm done with Miami, Joe. I'd fire Manny Diaz tomorrow. What a gutless performance against Michigan State at home on Saturday.
He's dead to me. They're dead to me. That game cost me. They're dead to me. I don't even want to talk. You give up 192 rushing yards. De'Ara King, thank God I took his prop, 238.5. They established it at 240. He threw for 388, and you still only lose the game by 21 points? Are you kidding me? What happened to the defensive guru in Manny Diaz? Unbelievable.
He was pathetic that whole team. And I'm done with De'Ara King, too, Joe. He has been bad throughout this early portion of the season, too. He has not played well. And honestly, he hasn't. Even in the App State win, he didn't play well. Didn't play well against Alabama, either. What about West Virginia, the last second win over Virginia Tech? The Hokies were dropping, Joe.
Let me tell you what happened in that game if you didn't watch. West Virginia had basically a 27-7 lead over VaTech. And all of a sudden, Braxton Burmeister, they score 27-14. I'm laying 2.5. I say, all right, I'm okay. Then it's 27-21. West Virginia gets the football. They, first of all, 27-13, a terrible play on third down. Guys not rapping, taking wrong angles, allowed Raheem Blackshear to score on a third down conversion. That was terrible. But then they cut the deficit to 27-21. West Virginia takes over on their own 20-yard line. Okay, and Neil Brown all of a sudden wants to reinvent the wheel. VaTech has one timeout. He doesn't even allow them to call that timeout. On a third down in like 15, he lets Jared Dagey throw a screen that gets intercepted. And all of a sudden, Virginia Tech is in striking distance inside the 10. And then four straight plays, the West Virginia defense steps up. They had six sacks on the day. Letty Brown and that offense pounded the rock for 5.7 yards per carry. That was a gutty effort, but no help from their head coach, Neil Brown. But that was a dominant, dominant offensive defensive line effort. Their first win over Virginia Tech, Carver, since 2003.
No, that was a tremendous job. They did an unbelievable job stopping them at the end there. They tried to blow it. Fuentes is an awful coach. We've discussed that several times, Joe. Next game, Cincinnati gets down 14-0 early in Bloomington.
Yeah.
Big second half for the Bearcats. They end up pulling it out. They stay undefeated. They stay in the top 10, and now they get a week off, and then they can really show their stuff again to the nation in South Bend in 2 weeks.
Yeah, six turnovers they forced against Michael Penix and Indiana. I mean, that was the biggest thing. And you saw that Indiana took the lead early in the third quarter. They took a 21-17. And then all of a sudden, the 102-yard kickoff return changes the whole complexity of the ball game. Cincinnati has life. They go up by 3 points. All of a sudden, Indiana can't do anything offensively. Michael Penix completes 17 of 40 passes. 17 of 40. Less than 50% for only 224 yards. Throws a couple of interceptions. I mean, that secondary for Cincinnati entered that ballgame only giving up about 131 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks. They really didn't face anybody up until that point. That was a dominant, dominant secondary effort by Luke Fickell's bunch, and they're going to need that type of effort going up against Jack Cohn in a couple of weeks. If Notre Dame gets the victory over Wisconsin, they're already a 5.5-point favorite in Chicago, but if they get the victory, don't look now, but people are going to be talking about Cincinnati cracking the party. I don't know if they can get there, and I don't know if they could beat Notre Dame right here, right now, but they made a statement on Saturday because they stepped up, and that come-from-behind win, it shows the mental resolve of this team under Luke Fickell.
And Notre Dame, since you brought him up, we'll mention they did get their cover, Joe. They took care of business against Purdue. Spotty at times, no doubt, but they end up winning 27-13 to set up this game with Wisconsin at Soldier Field coming up at high noon East on Saturday. That's when we will talk about a lot this week. Massive game between Notre Dame and Wisconsin. All right, college football full circle. Mike Harmer, Joe Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. When we come back, Joe, who screwed you the most this weekend? You probably don't have many candidates, but I have a lot.
We keep
rolling on Sports Grid Radio right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. All right, Joe, as always, when we start the week, who screwed you the most over the weekend? I mean, Joe, you can't have too many complaints.
I mean,
5-2 for Joe Lisi over the weekend. Some monster efforts here with Minnesota, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Nebraska. How about Buffalo with the big cover at home against Coastal Carolina?
Remember? Are people treating Coastal Carolina like they're Alabama now, walking out?
They think
Grayson McCall is Bryce Young all of a sudden. Settle down.
You have the floor. Who screwed you the most?
Kent State. Now, I'll tell you this. You know, I broke this game down, and every trend was in their way, right? You had the back-to-back victories for Iowa over Indiana and Iowa State. Typical letdown spot over the last six games against MAC opponents against the number. Iowa was just 1-5 overall. I had an opportunistic defense in Kent State. Game starts, it's 9-7. All of a sudden, Iowa goes up 16-7. Okay, no problem. We're in striking distance. Third quarter comes out, halftime adjustments. All of a sudden, Kent State playing with a ball of fire. I'm watching this game on the computer, right? I'm watching Florida, Alabama. I'm watching every other game that matters, and I'm watching this game on the computer. I see Dustin Crum and the crew go right down the field. All of a sudden, CBS Sports has it, the arrow inside the five-yard line, right? I'm like, all right, 16-14, we're up. Now it's like 5 minutes. I'm hitting refresh. What the hell happened here, right? Come to find out, the kid fumbles on the one-yard line. I'm like, all right, no problem. We're still in striking distance. All of a sudden, I turn on the game now on the Big Ten Network, right? What happens? Iowa comes down. Tyler Goodson, 50-yard run or whatever. They go up 23-7. No problem. Dustin Crum, we got this. I'm confident, right? Lewis and the crew. All of a sudden, move the football. We don't get anywhere. We punt it back to Iowa. Iowa gets the ball with 4 minutes left, okay, on their own 40-yard line, 23-7. What happens? Kirk Ferentz must have owed every booster money because Spencer Petras, who's only thrown for 240 yards throughout the whole 2021 season, throws a 50-yard play-action bomb to get the Iowa Hawkeyes inside the five-yard line, right? Okay, so they score the touchdown. Iowa kicker hits the upright. Somehow it goes through. So that's the second thing now not to give me the cover. Why didn't Kirk Ferentz go for two up, right? 29-7, it's 22 to make it a 24-point game if you're so aggressive, Kirk, right? He doesn't do that. So it's 30-7. All right. Now we get the football back. All of a sudden, this guy Lewis, the head coach of Kent State, he has a 4th-and-4 on his own 40.
This guy Lewis.
He comes out of nowhere, right? The head coach, right? This is the same head coach. This is the same head coach for Kent State that when they were trailing by 31 to Texas A&M, tried to kick two field goals with a minute left, okay, in the ball game and missed both of them, right, to try and cover that week one line. In this game, with the spread at 22.5 at every book across the nation, on a 4th-and-4 from his own 40, trailing 30-7, he decides, you know what? We played hard enough. We're going to punt the football. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Oh, Kent State, geez. You're dead to me.
Kent State on the leasing list now.
The kid that cost me two parlays because I was so convinced that I had the right cap there, that Kent State should have covered that game. The kid fumbles, and it looked like he threw the ball over his back there going into the end zone. I don't want to say anything. It wasn't even like he threw the football over his back, and Jack Campbell and the crew recovered. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's listen, Joe. That you hate to see that, and you get into these tricky spots where you got the MAC teams playing the Big Ten teams, and weird stuff happens. Just unlucky, right there for you, Joe. Joe, I got a lot of candidates, honestly, especially when you go 1-6 with your Friday picks. I mean, there's just as many as you want. I could go with Bama, who, you know, they scored 38 plus points in I think every game except two the last 3 years. I took their team total over 37.5. They had 31 points, couldn't get it done. I could go with Northwestern. What a gutless performance by Pat Fitzgerald, getting down 30-7 at halftime to Duke. That's right, Duke in Durham, Northwestern. But I can't go completely nuts on him, Joe, because I did bet him in the second half live at +9.5. They end up pulling that out for me, so I split the baby there. We could go with Vandy, but geez, how could you get mad? If you're back in Vandy 2 weeks in a row, they're not going to always cash for you. Who am I going to go with, Joe? How about Oklahoma State and Boise and the ref?
No.
And listen to me. And the ref at the end of the game, here's the deal, Joe. They had 41 points at the half. I'm on the over 57.5. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. This is great. 41 at halftime. We're feeling good. A bagel in the second half, Joe. Nobody scores. And Boise had a scoop and score late in the fourth quarter, a clear fumble, but the ref called them down, so they don't get the touchdown. They did get the ball. They did nothing, of course. They needed the defense to score. I was hoping maybe if they would have got that touchdown, Oklahoma State then would have actually pressed on the other side of the field. Maybe we get a little overtime and things get zany. The ref did an awful job at the end of that Boise-Oklahoma State game, Joe. He bothered me. But both teams bothered me because they scored a bagel in the second half, Joe, after 41 in the first half. Awful job. I lose the over 57.5.
I'll tell you what. I thought it was a good call by the ref. No, I'm kidding. I was on Oklahoma State.
You thought it was a good call, Joe? Good call. That was a clear fumble.
I know,
Joe,
it was.
Joe, when those situations happen, you just let the touchdown happen, and you can fix it with replay if it's not a fumble. Like, the way that they called it, you can't go back and give the team the touchdown. Give them
totally
the touchdown.
Agree.
If the guy is down, then they'll get the ball back. Let the play finish. Why are we blowing the play dead when there's a chance that Boise State's getting a scoop and score, Joe? What are we doing here?
Well, I'll tell you, I was watching that game on the computer as I had the Penn State game up, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What is going on here? I was hanging on. I mean, the way Oklahoma State did make adjustments, Jalen Warren rushed for over 200 yards. They fell behind 20-7 in that game, and they stuck to the run game. Gundy said, you know, I'm not getting anywhere with Spencer Sanders. He's pathetic. I got to just run
awful.
The football.
He was. What do you have, one completion at halftime, Joe? Spencer
Sanders? Yeah, terrible.
I get they weren't throwing the football. He stinks, too. I'm tired of Spencer Sanders.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, now, their defense, though, they led FBS in terms of third down defense last year, 26%. They have a very solid front seven. They're opportunistic, have great red zone defense as well. Keep an eye out for the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I'm just going to say that now to make some noise. We talk about Iowa State. We talk about Oklahoma. If that defense plays the way they did on the road, That was a solid effort. Now they get a tough matchup against K-State, who traditionally plays them very well. So we'll see how that game plays out.
Yeah, nice effort all around right there. All right, how about some of these late-night games? First of all, or even before we get to late-night ones, great call by Joe again. The over in Virginia and North Carolina. Jeez, Joe. I mean, you talk about a pinball machine.
I texted you that one.
It would end. 59-39. And then I'm thinking, Joe, tried the old, well, they scored 80 points in the first half. Let's try to get a little under in the second half and try to, you know, get a little middle. Yeah, that didn't work out. Jeez, Joe. I mean, honestly, they scored a billion points in this game. There was no defense whatsoever.
No, none. And you potentially had maybe the top two quarterbacks in the ACC, and we hear about Sam Howell. But, you know, DJU hasn't lived up to expectations. But Brennan Armstrong, I'm telling you this right now, from a next-level perspective, could be an NFL quarterback. He's a big kid. He's about 6'4", about 225 pounds. He transferred in as a JUCO talent with Bronco Mendenhall and the crew, and he has lived up to expectations. He's got a live arm. They have huge wide receivers. I mean, Billy Kemp is short, but Jelani Woods, their tight end, is 6'7". They have playmakers for Virginia. It's going to be an intriguing battle because they lost that matchup. Entering that ballgame, Virginia had won four straight by 6.5 points per game and four straight against the number. So that was a dominant effort, and that was a fishy line too, right? I mean, they won four straight up, four straight against the number, and then they go on the road. The line opened up at 9.5. So that was a huge indicator, and I thought it was a little fishy. Sometimes I go with the trend, sometimes I buck it. I was wrong with that assessment in terms of just thinking that Virginia would win, but dominant effort with two of the top quarterbacks in the ACC.
No question about that. Ole Miss continues to score tons of points, 61-21. Yeah. You know, Tulane kind of hung around for maybe a quarter and a half, Joe. They had a long delay because of Lightning. They finally get going in Oxford. And, I mean, Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral, they just keep pouring the points in, 61-21. Not only do they cover the 14.5, it goes over that ridiculous 76.5 that they had for this game. I know that Corral's good, Joe, and this has been very impressive. I still need to wait and see him play Texas A&M and Alabama before I go crazy about him for the Heisman.
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, we can't get ahead of ourselves. I mean, if this team is 6-6 or 7-5, you can't give him the Heisman. I mean, he's a compiler at that point. You want to see him do it against the better teams in the nation. And, you know, it'll help him if Louisville starts to win out. Excuse me, win out. They have a tough game against Florida State.
All right, Joe, you going to make
it? Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. I got a cough on Friday. Hopefully it's not the COVID, but I'm battling like Matt Corral and the crew here.
Come on, Joe. I need you, baby. I mean, relax, my man. Get you a little soup after the show, Joe. Come on. Let's fire you up. Go for the two here. So you mentioned Sitake earlier. We got to give him credit, Joe. I mean, this is a couple great wins in a row. 27-17. Once again, at home against Arizona State. They were up at the half. I debated, Joe, jumping in on Arizona State at halftime. I'm glad I didn't. BYU.
On the money line, though.
Yes, yes. Well, even this
kid,
it was a flyer. The second half. But nice job by BYU.
Kid, Merlin Robertson, just should have went down. I mean, at some point you have to realize there's no gas in the tank. You know, he wanted the touchdown, but Tyler Algier with the strip, huh? Unbelievable. That game was Herm Edwards. I mean, has he elevated Arizona State? Just answer
no.
me. Has he?
No. And remember that line I gave you on Friday? I forget what it was. What was he as a road favorite? Something ridiculous. You know, like 2-12 against the spread with a couple outright losses. Just he hasn't done, you know, he talks good game, and we know that, but he has not brought them to the levels that you thought he was going to bring them to when he went out there to coach the Sun Devils. And also, we got to get this in before we go. How about UCLA losing that game to Fresno State and that kid who played quarterback for Fresno on Saturday night? I mean, Hainer. Jake Hainer, he could barely get off the field at the end, Joe. He took so many shots, but he stuck in there, got it done, 40-37, huge upset for Fresno.
Yeah, that's what Fresno was known for, those blue-collar kids, right? Go into any Pac-12 environment, I mean, we don't care. We'll just go in, we'll take your lunch money, and we're coming out with a W, and that's exactly what they did to Chip Kelly and the crew. No more you can rip up those UCLA Heisman tickets, UCLA for the Power College Football Playoff tickets. They were a two-hit wonder.
Joe says, throw the tickets away, baby, on UCLA. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back and wrap it up on Sports Grid Radio right after this.
Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Joe, tomorrow on the show, we will look at some updated futures, see what's going on, national title picture, Heisman, etc. Start to look ahead to the Week 4 games, and we'll do things like that. Before we go, though, let me run through a couple other games quickly, maybe of significance or not little at all. Nice job by Narduzzi and Pitt losing 44-41 to Western Michigan at home on
Saturday.
I told
you, that's why you can never get excited.
I mean, Narduzzi
is good for them. This guy, he's terrible.
He really is awful. I mean, there's just no doubt. Army got up 42-0 on UConn at the half, but they don't end up covering. A little life from the Huskies in the second half, 52-21. They end up covering, Joe.
Yes, and that was my under-the-radar pick on College Football Today, 2-for-2 now. I went against Army, Western Kentucky, and UConn. I try to mix up the picks. I keep a majority of the picks for, obviously, College Football Full Circle and then College Football Today, but I like to mix it up to give everybody, because if they listen to one show, then they get all my picks. No, not going to happen. You got to listen to all the shows to see who I like, but that was the under-the-radar pick, UConn, plus the 33 and a hook.
SMU wins on the Hail Mary tip over Louisiana Tech. Jeez, Joe, if either me or you had Louisiana Tech on the money line, that would have been who screwed us the most. That's for sure. USC got down 14-0 early in Wazoo, and then they rolled 45-14. Jeez, tremendous job by the Trojans. And also, Joe, Norvell, 0-3, Wake Forest lays the wood 35-14 on FSU. Look out.
Attaboy, attaboy. Unbelievable, huh? Are you kidding? Mackenzie Milton. Remember Joe Testator? Mackenzie Milton for Heisman.
Not anymore. Nice job by Memphis. Memphis, too, beating Mississippi State on Saturday. That was a good win. Joe, tremendous job as always, my man. I will talk to you tomorrow. Great job, Christian. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Group Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We'll see you tomorrow.